now that there's a Republican Congress and a Republican president, that can change and that can go down.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus, and on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, what's in the New York State budget for now? The budget clock is officially ticking in Albany.
This puts nearly $5,000 back in the pockets of many New York
Republicans
families.
In Congress, including seven from New York, have refused to act.
Every student will be required to disconnect from their devices during the school hours, bell to bell.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul has presented a $252 billion proposal that includes a number of policies like banning cell phones in schools and tax relief for most residents. It's a record number for the annual state funding plan, and it remains to be seen how lawmakers will adjust it ahead of the April 1st deadline. Well, joining us now for a breakdown is WNYC Capitol reporter John Campbell. Hi, John.
Hi, Ian.
So what's in this plan?
Well, there's a lot in this plan. A lot of it we already knew was going to be in this plan. Things like that tax cut you just mentioned. It's an income tax cut for the first five state tax brackets. And that means basically if you're a joint filer and you make less than $323,000, you're in line for a tax cut. But don't get too excited because it's not a very big one. It's about $1 billion collectively. That works out to about 0.2 percentage points. So if you were taxed, if you were in that fifth state tax bracket and you were taxed 6% of your income over 2 years, it would be phased in. So you'd be taxed 5.8%. So it's a tax cut. It certainly is. And that is that's significant in any right. But it's not going to be some huge windfall to you. And that also requires the legislature to approve as well. So there will be negotiation on that. There is the inflation rebates, as the governor is calling that. That's a $3 billion program to send checks to New Yorkers. And that is most joint filers will see $500 checks if the legislature approves. And single filers would get about $300. So that's in the budget as well. That's a $3 billion program. And that is being fueled, that and the tax cut are being fueled by a $5 billion surplus, which was not expected coming into yesterday. The projections had changed in part because of a stronger economy, a good performance by Wall Street, which has a big deal on the state's finances, and the state came into more money than it was anticipating. And most of it is going to pay for those two initiatives we just laid out.
Now, we're still awaiting, of course, the state controller's analysis, but he put out a statement saying there are out-year budget gaps here to be worried about and state spending is outpacing inflation. So to the extent that we know right now, how is this budget actually paid for long term?
Well, a huge problem is Medicaid. Medicaid and education are the two biggest chunks of the state budget every single year. And the state's Medicaid costs are growing at an unsustainable rate. I mean, everybody pretty much agrees on that. And there's a lot of questions about what the state is going to be doing to account for that. There's not a lot of answers in this current budget about the long term, what the state intends to do to get those Medicaid costs under control. And part of the reason here, as Catherine Garcia, one of the governor's top aides, mentioned yesterday, baby boomers are aging, and the state's enrollment in Medicaid and Medicare continues to increase. So it's an issue that needs to be dealt with, and I think you saw the comptroller raise some concern about that, and I'm sure he will raise continued concern with that about that in the future. Now, one thing we should mention that Governor Hochul wants to do in the future that will help with some of those deficits, those out-year deficits, is she wants to extend for 5 years a higher tax on the wealthy. It's already in place. It is in place through 2027. She wants to extend that to 2032. That would add more revenue for the state from what was previously projected. And that's one way she wants to deal with it, but there will have to be more ways.
How are state legislative leaders reacting to the plan? And for people who don't pay such close attention to this, typically the governor releases her budget and then we get the two what are known as one house budget bills a little later on, which is the Senate and Assembly version of what they'd like to see.
Yeah, we're in the first part of the dance here. And you know, in actuality, this budget largely gets negotiated by, we used to say three men in the room because it was always men. Now it's two women and one man. That would be Governor Hochul. That would be Andrea Stewart-Cousins, the state Senate majority leader, and Carl Hastie, the assembly speaker. And Stewart-Cousins and Hastie both responded pretty positively to the budget. Hastie in particular said there's a lot to work with here, and it's a good starting point. They have responded positively to things like the governor's affordability agenda, which includes that tax cut, includes the inflation rebate checks, although there has been some grumbling about the checks within from some members of the legislature, including Mike Giannaris, the deputy Senate majority leader, who criticized the checks on WAMC, actually, as I remember it. So, you know, in general, it seems like there's generally positive reaction from the legislative leaders. But that said, you know, every budget that Governor Hochul has worked on to this point has gone beyond the March 31st deadline. You know, the fiscal year starts April 1st. There's supposed to be a budget in place by then. There's always been something that's held it up. And so I would be, you know, if the past is any sign here, I would be a little concerned about an on-time budget because she hasn't had one yet. So that remains to be seen.
Why put the cell phone ban in the budget?
Well, there's two reasons for that. The cell phone ban, as you referenced there, that is the state, the governor wants to make a statewide policy that all 700 plus districts, school districts in the state have to make a policy banning cell phone use among students from opening bell to closing bell. They call it a bell-to-bell policy. And the idea behind that is a distraction. The students are distracted by cell phones. Many of them have smartphones, smartwatches, and they play with them during the day. And they're not interacting with fellow students, and they're not interacting with their teachers. They have their head buried in their phone. So the governor for months had been teasing that she's going to have a proposal. She unveiled that as part of her budget. It got a generally favorable response from legislative leaders and teachers' unions. And that's in the budget for a couple reasons. One, governors often put policy proposals in the budget because it increases their leverage. If you jam a potentially controversial policy proposal into a bill with 100 other things, that 90 of which lawmakers generally support, they're more inclined to vote for that. So that it increases governor's leverage. But also, there is some money attached to it. The governor wants to put $13.5 million toward these grants for local school districts to buy pouches or lockers or some other equipment to lock phones up during the day. That is one of the requirements of the governor's proposal, is school districts have to offer some sort of mechanism to lock phones up during the day. And that costs money. So the governor is putting $13.5 million toward that. There's your budgetary expense. That's another reason why it's in the state budget.
To the extent that we know, who is going to oppose the idea of banning cell phones in schools during the day?
You know, I was surprised yesterday that we didn't hear more about that. Now, I think you will get some concern from parents, from some parents. I shouldn't say all parents. I don't want to group them all together. But one concern you do hear is, I give my kid a cell phone because I want to be able to reach them in an emergency. And if there's some sort of emergency at school, there's some sort of emergency at home, I want to be able to reach them. And if their phone is locked in a pouch or a locker, I'm not going to be able to as quickly as I'd like. So you will hear some of that criticism, although I don't know that, say, like the statewide PTA is raising that concern exactly. But individual parents certainly are raising that concern. And even Carl Hastie, the assembly speaker, has raised that concern in the past. He mentioned that as well yesterday, but also said he's come to the point where he just thinks these phones are a huge distraction, and that and he you know, understands why something needs to be done. That said, we also talked to the state Senate Republican leader Rob Ort, asked him what he thinks of the cell phone ban, and he said he hates cell phones. He wishes he could take them away from adults too. He
was, not a bad
he was
idea.
he was joking, but no, he said in general he understands the issue, but he wants to. He thinks the state's kind of giving school superintendents cover on this by making them do it. He thinks the school superintendents should be the ones banning them.
So let me zoom out a click or two. There's been some conventional wisdom that's settled on Albany that this was a re-election budget, that Hochul had kicked off her 2026 campaign with this plan. Is that something you buy into? Do you think there's some truth to that?
Well, in some sense, every year is a re-election budget in the sense that, you know, you're up for re-election every 4 years and your decisions are going to be scrutinized in the lens of politics. This year is particularly true because the governor is up for re-election next year. She'll have one more budget, but she is really deep in a hole in the public opinion polls. So she needs to dig her way out of that. And that's not something that one budget is going to fix. That's something that a series of policies and good marketing and good PR and selling it to the public over a period of time can fix. And even then, that's not a given. I mean, that is, she is in a deep hole where people do not view her favorably in the state of New York. So I think that, yes, it is totally fair to look at this through the lens of her reelection in 2026, because everything needs to be looked in that lens, because she is in that deep hole and she needs to dig herself out of it. And that is a long, long project to do so.
So one more thing. Obviously, the budget came a day after President Trump was sworn in for a new term. Relationship with Washington will be different. You know, Schumer is the minority leader now. Jeffries was not made Speaker of the House. So to what extent does what happens in Washington in this first 100 days of the Trump term impact what we might see in Albany in the next few weeks?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, the state budget, the way the state budget works, I mean, people hear state budget and they think it's all state tax dollars. That's not true. I mean, there's a huge chunk of the budget that is funded by federal money. And now that there's a Republican Congress and a Republican president, that can change and that can go down. One area in particular, you know, I cover New York City and Albany from a New York City lens. The MTA, the public transit system in New York City, relies on federal funding and is trying to put together a capital plan and wants a huge chunk of federal money for that. I mean, more than $14 billion. And whether or not the federal government delivers on that and more in the future can have a huge impact, because if you don't have that, then you either have to cut service or cut capital projects or increase the state funding or increase the city funding. So it has a major, major impact. There were a lot of questions for the budget officials about why more wasn't done in terms of contingency. Like if Donald Trump and the Republican Congress cut money, here's what we're going to do. In general, the response was, we can be flexible. You know, the legislature is on call all year. If something happens, we can take action to deal with that. But in general, there's not a lot of contingency in this budget for what happens if a Republican president and a Republican Congress cut funding in some way to New York.
WNYC Capitol reporter John Campbell, it's always great to catch up with you. Thanks for keeping an eye on things.
Thank you so much, Ian.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.